The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
There's a lot of people running their mouth that don't stay the night, never come through town. And some other people running about that don't take the time to suss you out.
So I think I dug my heels into the Crude Life just about a year ago. Like when the market started going absolutely haywire in 2020, I started just looking for commentary that was interesting and grounded, and especially commentary that was based in the Bakken. And there is no one better than the Crude Life. You have the monopoly on that as far as I'm concerned.
What kinds of other certain topics that interest you maybe more than others when you're listening to oil and gas?
Oh my gosh. Well, you know what's interesting is when you first enter this industry, and I came in as a complete newbie. I was telling you guys before we started recording, I'm a music major. Like, what? How did you end up in oil and gas as a music major?
I'm really upset you're not going to beatbox for me, but maybe some
today,
other time.
Not today. Well, the 11 Lounge, May 14th, 7:30 p.m. I'll be playing. But when you come into the industry, you think everybody knows everything. It's kind of like when you're a little kid and you assume the adults in the room.
It's very intimidating.
It's absolutely intimidating. And so you're afraid to ask questions. You think, oh, like, you know, if I don't know what this term means, I'm a complete idiot and this person isn't going to want to talk to me. But yeah, so you come to realize very quickly, though, that everybody has their own silo. And the more complete picture you have, especially if you're working in the compliance industry as I am, the better equipped you are to speak different languages and translate across those quote-unquote cultures within the industry. So while I'm interested in topics like ESG, which, you know, is compliance adjacent, there's a big kerfuffle. I know you guys have done a series on ESG recently. I really am interested in everything. I was just talking to a frac engineer over there, Monty Bessler, whom you just interviewed. He's one of my favorite people in the Bakken. So literally anything a person will tell me about oil and gas, I will absorb it. I'm like a sponge.
Yeah, I love that. I love your passion for the industry. And how long have you been in the industry?
I've been in the industry 5-6 years. I lose track, actually.
What got you started into the oil and gas industry?
It's such a weird story, and I don't know how long of a version I should tell you. But the short version is that my brother studied abroad in Thailand in undergrad.
And what was her name?
The name of this person?
No, the broad.
The broad?
I'm just kidding.
Oh, studied abroad.
I forgot Jason's crude, no pun intended, sense of humor. So he was studying abroad in Thailand with this gentleman who was from Williston, started a company in the Bakken. And I didn't have any concern about this at the time, but this person became a family friend and was really near and dear to our hearts. Like I said, I'm a music major. What does a music major need to do when they graduate college? They're touring. They're producing music. You know, I'm investing in my own career, doing what I need to do to make it, quote unquote, as a singer. And it really, really helps if you have a remote job to subsidize that.
To make a little money to pay the rent.
Yeah, to make a little bit of money to pay the rent and pay for the records that you're producing. Mm-hmm. Pay for all of the social media, the press, like everything that you need to pay for in order to have a sustainable career. So I was actually working a different remote job fresh out of college. Lost it because I was a little bit too sassy.
I can't tell.
And I call up my friend, this family friend, frantically, and I'm like, oh my god, do you have anything that could help hold me over at this period of time where I don't have a job? I'm imagining my world crashing, having to be a barista, having to work at a department store, which, you know, disables, essentially puts on hold my entire music career. Lo and behold, somebody had left that very week in a compliance position at his company. So I don't have a clue about this industry. I had done a little bit of editing work, you know, on SOPs, or like he'd given me a bit of reading material and editing work prior to that. But other than that, I didn't know what I was doing. But within 3 months, I took a department that was in the red and made it not only in the green, but one of the most profitable departments in the company, not to toot my own horn.
No, but I fit. Sometimes a fresh perspective. Absolutely.
Yes, and I just fell in love with it. And I started to see, compliance is not just a bunch of boxes that you're checking. It's a story. It's a relationship between the supplier, on the one hand, these small companies that make the Williston Basin tick, and the large producers that are funding all of that and making life as we know it possible. So I fell in love with that story and started to see, oh my God, there's so many things that people aren't seeing about this storyline. And by stepping back as a complete newcomer, a freaking music major, I would like to think that I brought something really new to the compliance industry. So I ended up starting my own company later down the line, but I could not be more grateful that I was given that random accidental intro to the industry years ago.
I got a question for you. We got to rewind a little bit. Be yeah. kind, rewind. You mentioned silos. Mm. That was a trigger word for me. Oh, as yeah? in like, oh, somebody's speaking my language. But then I realized, I don't know if we're speaking the same language. So what's a silo to you in that context?
What's a silo to me?
In that context, yeah.
Well,
you talked about how industry had silos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So if somebody's working upstream, they mm-hmm. might know nothing about midstream. And they might know nothing about downstream.
I love this.
No, this is very important conversation.
I'd love to hear somebody mm-hmm. else talk about this.
And not only that, you can zoom in a
little
bit
closer.
Oh,
just wait. It's going to get better.
So even if you're in the upstream side, you could be a welder, or you could be providing insulation, or you could be roustabout, or you could be hotshot, and you might know nothing about what those other guys are doing, even though you're all technically upstream. You know? So that super hyper zoomed in perspective, I find can be really, really crippling for service providers, especially when they're trying to communicate to producers their value, because they don't know the context of their own value. And that's one thing that I really try to bring to the table for the small contractors that I serve.
Yeah, or the arm of the energy chain that they support.
Yes.
And yeah. but they could be supporting it on a wider scale.
Yeah.
But like you said, exactly. They put themselves in a corner mm-hmm. and they only cater to a certain part of that
yep.
stream.
And it's right? If we want to make an analogy to music here, it's like, oh yeah, I know how to drum super, super well. Look at me. I'm a fantastic drummer, blah, blah, blah. But if I don't know how to play, you know, in time with the bass, and I don't know what that drumming is supposed to sound like in context with the singer, and I'm drumming too loud, I mean, I'm not doing my job. So service providers are doing themselves a great disservice by not taking the time to step back, learn more about where they're fitting into the supply chain, and really help the producers solve their problems better.
So what I believe is happening right now, and the other host, when it's not Sean Forbes, Sterling. Sterling's never worked a day in oil and gas. He grew up in Saudi Arabia, in Dahran, which is an oil and gas compound. So imagine like a crew camp. But they've got golf courses and schools, but it's still a razor wire fence around the entire
oh my gosh,
city.
So it's like a company town, but it's...
There's four of them in Saudi Arabia because there's so much oil and gas activity that these companies literally own the town. Literally. Meaning there's a grocery store there, but Saudi Aramco, which is the largest oil and gas company in the nation, mm-hmm. used to be Aramco and used to be Standard Oil, right? Mm-hmm. They employ the grocery store workers. They employ the greenskeeper at the golf course. They employ the teachers, okay? So if you're a teacher and you're teaching in Saudi Arabia, you're actually employed by an oil and gas company.
Gosh.
You're not employed
yeah.
by an education system,
yep.
okay? So that's what he grew up in, right? I don't even know where the heck I was going with this
story. That's a whole ecosystem.
What he talks about is building silos. Mm. What he thinks right now is happening in the oil and gas industry is that they're building silos, meaning they're purposely building an insulation so they will not have to go talk to others. Mm. We talked about Mike Summers with API earlier.
Yep.
He's here at the conference. We've asked him to come on the show. We've had others ask him to come on the show. Okay? People of influence, not just the crude life, people of real influence asking,
hey,
right?
Hey, you have real influence.
You're now hired. You're on our staff. Okay.
Happy. Happy to be hired.
But I found
You're
out today.
You're talking about the energy world. In
energy
general.
World. So right. What I found out today was that there were several people that had lunch and specifically mentioned the crude life in my name and said, you have to interview with him. And he won't come on because he does not want to talk about climate tax, is what I was told.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
The biggest tax on the planet, and no one was talking about it, right? That is a silo. That is an example of where if your industry is not
silo.
Talking about it, you're building your own silo. So I found that's why I just wanted we've been talking about silos a lot lately. And so you brought that word in. So mm-hmm. just for our audience, I wanted to make sure that, you know, we defined it. So
it's interesting that you brought that up because I mean so that the API
American Petroleum Institute.
Yes, of course. So they released that press release just, what, a day or two or a week
before? Oh, I'll give you the timeline.
That Department of Interior meeting?
That I don't know. What I do know is that they released it, mm-hmm. and then it was 7 to 10 days later they came back and endorsed it.
Okay.
So it was less than a week of conversation, yeah. because it was on a Friday,
yeah.
when they released it.
I have no idea what's going on behind the scenes at API, but what was really interesting to me is I was in that Department of the Interior meeting about the federal leasing ban. And now we're getting, you know, a little bit off track from compliance, but it is,
well,
I mean,
fine.
This is our industry, it's related. Yeah. Which, by the way, the DOI meeting started with everybody naming their pronouns and apologizing for at least 1 minute about exactly which tribe whose land they were occupying. It was a very interesting. Like I've never seen somebody use their time that way in a federal government meeting. I guess I'll put it that way.
I spent a little bit of time yesterday clarifying the.
To listen to the full length interview, visit thecrudelife.com. Got caught up in the big daydreaming. It's what you don't say. It's like a pretty
red Cadillac with no brakes. It's like your girlfriend lying to you. For more than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
Folks, you are going to want to act today on this limited special from MyPillow. Check it out. A $70 pillow, now only $20. You'll also receive deep discounts on all the other MyPillow products as well. The MyPillow towels, the topper, the slippers. It is all on a deep discount with the promo code Otis. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and receive Mike's standard MyPillow for just $19.98 or call 800-598-4268. That's 800-598-4268. Once again, that thank you special is a standard MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98. And do not forget to use the promo code Otis.
The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
That's what love is like. That. Who am I that I would push back?
Every March since 1987, Congress and the United States presidents have designated March as Women's History Month. This year, the Crude Life celebrates and honors their accomplishments once again, along with their contributions in history with interviews, stories that center around women's experiences in oil and gas and industry. The Crude Life supports women in industry since day one and will continue to months after this as well. The Crude Life believes women are vital in energy today more than ever. From a female's point of view to intuition to specific skill sets, women are vital in energy. Today's women in industry are not only modern day leaders, but are truly defining history as well. Everyone here at The Crude Life is grateful for all your contributions to industry, to your communities, and to our planet. Today we celebrate Texas Railroad Commissioner Christy Craddock, interviewed by Jenica Hauser.
Friends and listeners, we've got a guest in the house. Well, on the phone talking with us today, Chairman Christy Craddock of the Texas Railroad Commission. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm very excited to finally get to talk with you. Why don't we go ahead and start with letting people know who you are and what it is that you do?
So I am the chairman of the Railroad Commission right now, and the Railroad Commission is based in Texas. It doesn't do railroads anymore, though. We are the oil and gas regulator, in fact, the oldest oil and gas regulator in the entire country and in the entire world. We always say OPEC is based on us as far as their price controls and other things they do. And so I've been at the commission starting my 9th year. There are 3 of us elected statewide in Texas as commissioners. And I'm now the longest serving, I wouldn't say oldest, but the longest serving member on the commission as we're brought up right now. And I'm the chairman. The chairmanship rotates amongst the three of us. And this is my third time to be chairman. And I'm happy to do so. I think we've got one of the best agencies in the entire state. And frankly, probably one of the best agencies in the entire country when you talk about oil and gas regulations. So thought for just a second I'd tell you, because we do have a funny name and it's a historical name. Always tell people in Texas, nobody knows who we are, but most everybody else in the country and in the world does. And so we are the oil and gas regulator, but we do pipelines and pipeline safety inspections for the state of Texas. We have roughly 470,000 miles of interstate and intrastate pipelines in Texas, and roughly another 500,000 miles of gas utilities lines. Wow. In Texas. So we have a lot of, and gathering lines are in that 470,000 miles as well. So we have a lot of pipe in Texas. We're the largest pipe state by a sixth. It's an important part of what goes on in the state, and safety is really important, obviously, to all of us. We do gas utilities, like I said, and gas utility rates and safety in Texas. We also do coal and coal mines. People forget we do have coal mines. We're lignite mines. And I also, we're not the West Virginia dig down deep in the ground, but they're strip mines in Texas. So that is an important part of our economy, as well as our electricity grid. In any given day in Texas, is roughly 30% is coal-based today. And we also have the other couple of quirky things that people don't realize that we do in Texas. We do have some geothermal. We're the geothermal world in Texas permitting, and haven't done one in a few years, but we've had several companies looking at that opportunity, particularly in South Texas. We also have uranium mines in Texas and South Texas, and so we have new exploration that comes through the Railroad Commission. And the last thing that's on, I think, everybody's conversation bucket right now has to do with carbon, and carbon capture. We have had carbon capture rules in our world in Texas, and we're one of the first states to have them, period, since 2003. So we are already do carbon capture in Texas and are using it in our oil fields for EOR, enhanced oil recovery. We've been doing that since 2003. I think we're the first state to have done that, and those rules go through the Railroad Commission as well. So all of that being said, our biggest piece really does have to do with oil and gas and the oil and gas permitting, and we're the biggest state. We like being the biggest, and we hope we continue being the biggest state for both production, rig count. About a third of the country's oil and the fourth of the country's natural gas right now, and production-wise, is coming out of Texas. So we have a big job in the state, and we are happy to have good rules and regulations in place for that.
Wow, that is so much really great information. First of all, just for my own personal clarification, the chairman, chair people, chair individual, anyway, for your position.
Chairman. We just say chairman, that's right. Man or woman, we just call it a chairman. It's just easier.
Right. So but you're elected by the people, right, for a term of 6 years. So if you're in your ninth year, you would have won two terms then. So congratulations. That's kind of a neat, just something kind of a side note there. But when you were talking about the carbon capturing and carbon emissions, it kind of triggered in my brain too a lot on the website that I'd seen regarding environmentally friendly practices, or even, like, as you were mentioning, the strip mining and whatnot. Once those are done, I had seen also on the website talking about ways to kind of bring it back into nature. How is it that the Railroad Commission goes about maintaining the environmental factor?
Look, we think our two reasons that, and our the reason we do our job first and foremost is to prevent waste. So that was one of the reasons we started regulating oil and gas back 101 years ago, right, in Texas as it was discovered, and protect the environment. Those are our two priorities at our agency. And so when we talk about protecting the environment, one of the things that we have and have had for years and years, and have some of the Some of the oldest ones and the best practices, we believe, are rules and regulations, right? And we think they're, one, common sense rules and regulations. We try not to overregulate. We try to work with companies and industry, but we also make sure you follow our rules and regulations. To that end, we have inspectors. So we have roughly on the oil and gas side about 150 give or take inspectors just for the oil and gas division. We have another about 30 people who are on our division for coal and coal mines, and then about 70 people in our pipeline division. So almost half of our agency, a good third to half of our agency, is inspectors that are out in the field every day doing inspections. Last year we did over almost 200,000 inspections in the state, across the state. Wow. And so it's a lot. We have a lot that we do in the state. We're a big piece of the state, and it's a big state. And so we have inspectors and now 10 field offices across the state. And so our goal is, one, to make sure you're following the rules. And we try to have best practices and are real transparent as much as we can with our old technology. I'll get into that in a minute. But with what our rules are.
Have a question? Know an expert? Or just want your voice heard? Email studio@thecrudelife.com.
Folks, you are going to want to act today on this limited special from MyPillow. Check it out. A $70 pillow, now only $20. That's right. The standard MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98. You'll also receive deep discounts on all the other MyPillow products as well. The MyPillow towels, the topper, the slippers. It is all on a deep discount with the promo code Otis. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and receive Mike's standard MyPillow for just $19.98, or call 800-598-4268. That's 800-598-4268. Once again, that thank you special is a standard MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98. And do not forget to use the promo code Otis.
For more than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in Western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
Welcome back to the Crude
Life Jason Spies
morning show. Work hard, play hard. My name is Jason Spies. This is going to be kind of a combination, one of those hybrid shows again, where we work hard and we play hard. Of course, we're going to be talking about dogs, so it's hard to work hard when you're talking about dogs.
Even when we're working hard, it's pretty light.
Yeah, you're playing hard quite a bit. So one of our sponsors, Chewy Paws, of course, canine pipe inspections as well. Michaela Hager, how are you?
I'm well. How are you? Thanks for inviting me on.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the program today to talk about a number of different things. Of course, March being the Women's History Month, and I like to say women in industry are making history every day. That's kind of what's happening. So how long have you worked in the energy sector?
We started doing what we do back in 2017, actually.
Okay.
And been going ever since.
How about the canine industry? How long have you been in the canine industry?
Chewy Paws.
Chewy Paws came later, didn't it?
Actually, it came right about the same time.
Okay.
Interesting fact, it came in at the same time we developed our working dogs, and it was means to kind of fund the original business model forward.
Oh, I see. It was kind of a...
All profits went to the dogs.
So it was one of those hobbies that turned into a venture capitalist firm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the American dream right there.
Yeah. Sheds of venture capitalism. So,
well, we've got a bunch of it all over the floor here, actually.
How did you guys start Chewy Paws, by the way? In my mind, I envisioned that you guys were, you know, bringing these dogs looking for pipelines and just picking up, you know, deer sheds and stuff, antlers.
Actually, it was totally a separate deal, but I started out doing shed hunting and that form of detection prior to getting into the pipeline industry. So our dogs were shed hunting, and it was kind of a smaller hobby that grew into something, and it didn't want to quit, so it became its own business.
That'd be fun, bringing dogs out, just letting them look for antlers and stuff. That'd be a blast.
It does sound awesome, outdoors. And
Just being outside, okay. It's like when I bring Frackleberry Hound out, we just go marshing. Yeah. We don't go hunting, you know, none of that hardcore training. Just go have fun, you know, if we kind of get in the ballpark, good enough.
So. There's got to be a downside, right? Everything has a downside, but it sounds like a lot of fun.
Let's talk about your dogs for a minute with the canine pipe inspections. Now, you guys just got back from Texas. You were down there sniffing for some leaks and that sort of thing. I've always read and heard that these dogs are still more accurate than a lot of the robotics and sensors out there. Is that true?
Actually, we got the opportunity to put our dogs back-to-back with electronic sniffers. I've got a link on our website somewhere.
No kidding. But, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Boy.
So we had a scenario where they were detecting, and I think they injected mercaptan and used electronic sniffers. That company had found leaks, but when they put the line up to pressure, they still were losing pressure. That's when we got called on because they still had leaks. And when we got brought on, we actually found two micro leaks that were missed by the modern technology. So that was our first opportunity to actually showcase what our dogs can do back to back with technology. The technology did what it needed to do, but there are limitations and places where it isn't at the level these dogs are when it comes to these micro, very, very challenging leaks.
What kind of dogs are you using?
I have all shepherds. So mostly Dutch shepherds, Malinois, and we got a Czech shepherd on the team as well. I say Czech shepherd, but she's a German shepherd. Her origins are from Czech, though.
What's involved in the training of the dogs for that? Or is it fairly intuitive for them, or is it really a specialized long-term type of training regime?
Kind of a combination. So you need that dog that has, as you put it, an intuitive nature. They're basically passionate about hunting. That work, that drive. I put a big focus on dogs with grit as well. If they go through tough scenarios, I don't want them to say, I'm not sure about those, you know, West Texas thorns. Like, I got some strong dogs that want to work really hard. You need that genetic potential, and then pairing that with a consistent program, building these dogs up to be very specialized at what they do. So the training is continual. It's not something that you do for a couple weeks and then they're trained. Per se.
Oh, sure.
We train these dogs every day.
Yeah, it's a perishable skill, I imagine. It need constant training. Yeah, that is awesome.
Hey, how far below the Earth's surface are these pipelines? Do they vary, or is there a set amount? I mean, I know they vary. Some are above ground and that sort of thing, but is there like a depth that gets too far for the dogs or anything along those lines, or they have no problems?
No problem, so long as they give us enough time for our tracer odorant to get to the surface.
Okay.
So whatever that depth is, we're just going to calculate the amount of time we need based on the conditions. But we've worked on lines shallow as, say, 3-4 feet, as deep down to 12 feet. Just our experience, but technically we should be able to do any depth so long as it gives it enough time for that vapor to get to the surface so the dogs can do their job.
You telling me that those dogs can get a pinhole leak 12 feet below the Earth's surface?
Well, we haven't done any leaks we've found. I think the deepest was probably 7-8 feet.
Okay.
Just because that's where the leak was.
Right, right. That's where the pipe was and et cetera. So, okay, that's amazing to me because I was taking Frackleberry out, you know, she likes to just chase snowballs and catch snow and that sort of thing. And so I'll just throw snowballs just to run her. And every now and then they'll go into a snow hill and it'll explode or whatever. And she'll just sit there and dig for 15, 20 minutes. And I know she's trying to get every single snowflake with my scent on it.
Yes.
Totally. You know, I mean, so that's what got me thinking, going, I wonder how deep these dogs can go with some of this scent. Because I had a bloodhound before, so I know their noses are amazing, you know, that sort of thing. Bloodhounds, that's focus. They have such focus issues. Your dogs are pretty focused, the shepherds, aren't they?
Honestly, the biggest kind of funny joke I keep telling people is my dogs are ball junkies and I'm the ball dealer. They are crazy about what they do. and I'm just feeding the craziness, and they're working for me for it. So that's kind of where you get that intensity, and you just keen into that biological talent of theirs.
The Poochie Pusher.
Yeah, I was just going to say, she's the pusher.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm the ball dealer around here, and it's very apparent whenever the dogs are around me.
How many different shale plays have you guys been in with canine pipe inspections?
We've worked everywhere from over in California, in New Mexico, Texas. Honestly, wherever we get the phone calls, we go. Dogs are extremely mobile, and they're more ready to go than their human counterparts. So
I'm almost wondering if there's going to if there's going to be some sort of tax credit for canine pipe inspections in the future for the ESG movement.
As soon as they can figure out a way, I'm sure.
Have we figured that out yet, Michaela, how to incorporate the public relations of involving dogs in with the science of involving dogs in order to help get some tax credits or subsidization there? Because it seems to all go towards the robots. So it's going somewhere.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying. So long question. Do you guys, are you finding that companies are pretty receptive to the public relations of the dogs part?
Leak detection is kind of an interesting industry because a lot of companies do not want to even express that this could be an occurrence, but we see a high value in ensuring that it isn't occurring. So, hey, we've verified that it hasn't occurred in this line clean and has no breaches. We're working on some projects, but I'd say tune in a little later in the year and ask me that question again while we work on a few things.
Okay.
But for now, a lot of things in the works, but we'll see where it goes.
So what's going on with Chewy Paws? Let's transition over there a little bit. Talk to us about, you know, the company, how it's going, how people can get some of the antler chews and that sort of thing. And then also some of the pros involved with these antlers, because I've done the research and I, you know, it is kind of a natural chew toy for a dog.
Yeah. Hey, a different industry for sure. But because we're passionate about dogs and what we do, we found single ingredient, natural chews. Dogs are crazy for them. And you don't have any of the artificial nylons, rubbers, or anything that isn't digestible. And that's something that we brought in with our dogs and we're using. And pretty soon friends and family were saying, hey, can you set us up with that? And it's gone there and just continued because it's such a simple product. It's a nature-made chew.
How can people get those or talk about the different packages that you guys have and the different types of antlers? Yeah.
Yeah, we're one of the few companies that we actually offer a wide variety of species.
To listen to the full-length interview, visit thecrudelife.com. Would rest at home in another life, but in the meantime, turning tidy up, fire is still burning bright.
Hey folks, Jason Spies with The Crude Life, and you've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Well, Mike has another fabulous offer for each and every one of the listeners out there on his standard MyPillow. You'll receive a standard MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now for only $19.98. That's less than $20. This holiday season, give the gift of sleep, a good sleep, for only $19.98, regularly $69.98. That's $70 down to $20. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and receive Mike's standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Or call 1-800-598-4268 and use the promo code Otis. That's a $70 pillow down to $20. Go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code Otis.
For more than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
There's a lot of people running their mouth that don't stay the night, never come through town. And some other people running about that don't take the time to suss you out. Still some of us every night be making toast to you, like isn't it nice that somebody had the presence of mind to speak up for you. Let there be light.
Go to the phone line and join Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon, one of the more progressive governors, in my opinion, and we're going to find out today why that is. How are you doing today there, Mr. Mark Gordon?
Doing well, Jason. Good to hear you, and look forward to maybe seeing you this summer, too.
In fact, yeah, we should go ahead and mention the Energy Exposition this summer. I was just going through a little bit of some prep work, and, you know, I hate to put you on the spot like this, but you went ahead and you mentioned it. So we are going to be doing an ESG kind of an educational seminar and a few other things. So if there's anybody from the government that we could certainly have on the panel, boy, we'd certainly appreciate it. So I'll just put that in your hopper a little bit. And if there's anybody that you can send there, that'd be great. We've got somebody from banking there. We've got somebody from on the oil and gas side, and that's where we'll transition to next, because I'm in Oklahoma today. Just got done meeting with one of the major operators yesterday. That is going to be, well, that is, they're in Wyoming, and I don't need to mention their names. If you wanted to comment on ESG, you certainly can, but that's not what this phone call's about. Of course, it probably is at the end of the day, but that's a different story for a different day. Anyway, how's things going there? Let's talk a little oil and gas and what we can get going to fill this world energy void, sir.
Well, you know, and Jason, I think we touched on it a little bit last time we visited, but certainly right now, the point is not lost, shouldn't be lost on anyone, that, you know, here in this country, we do a better job, a safer job, and a more environmentally safe job of producing oil and gas than anywhere else in the world. And that's the irony when the world is needing oil to be able to keep Europe going, to be able to really fight off this Russian invasion that we're seeing in the Ukraine, that this administration is out asking adversaries, you know, places like Venezuela, good heavens, that's one of the toughest places to produce. They certainly don't have a good environmental record, and we're going to ask them to give us oil when we've got stuff in North Dakota and here in Wyoming that is idle on the sidelines. And I know this administration will say, well, there's lots of APDs, but you know, one of the biggest problems is if you have no runway, it's hard to begin to think about how you're going to develop these resources.
How about when it comes to some of the other mining and minerals that you've got in Wyoming, whether it be natural gas? I know uranium has been in the news lately, big Russian influence there and everything. Talk to me about some of the other mining industry applications.
Oh my gosh, no, you're absolutely right. You know, of course, one of the most one of the most prevalent sources of energy is obviously coal. We can burn that in a better way, in more technologically efficient way. Wyoming's done a lot with carbon capture and sequestration. We'll work on that. Uranium, obviously, Wyoming's one of the largest producers of uranium, critical mineral for powering our nation, actually our nuclear fleet as well. And we've been totally dependent on what is this almost dumped uranium from Russia for a number of years. We need to get that industry up and running. And I think finally America is coming to grips with the fact that we've surrendered a lot of our own development of these minerals to places like China for rare earths and critical minerals, and Russia. We in Wyoming here just passed a budget, and part of that is going to be about looking at what opportunities we can see for critical minerals, rare earth minerals, and that would include more uranium, that would include really being able to build up our own rare earth mining here in the state.
I met, I I started the phone conversation by calling you one of the more progressive governors, and I truly do mean that. What I'm and part of it's a little bit tongue in cheek because I used to joke a little bit that the Tea Party was progressive in Wyoming because Wyoming's considered a pretty conservative state. So, of course, coming in with, hey, here's a progressive governor, Mark Gordon. Boy, you really catch some attention there. But you start talking about rare earth minerals. You start talking about this administration literally turning its back on American energy independence, having to have your allies become dependent on your adversary so that your poor and middle class can have their homes heated. I'm sorry, but I think we're getting to the time now where we can literally say the Democratic Party has really lost its way with its humanitarian ways. They used to be the stereotype for the humanitarian way of life, but you start talking about rare earth minerals, now you're talking about some third world country gorillas holding children at gunpoint, mining rare earth minerals here in the United States, here in Canada, and I'd even go as far as to say some parts of modernized Mexico. We've got regulations in place that make, it's like comparing a Model T to a jet fighter plane. We're the jet fighter plane. And some of these other places that we're starting to rely on, they're the Model T. All right, I'll step off my soapbox and let you kind of see whatever direction you want to go with that one.
Well, I didn't know exactly what you meant by progressive, but, the way I would take it, being a conservative, isn't in the sense of sort of a more liberal kind of notion, because I think Wyoming here, we want to have people working, we want to have people producing energy. It's something we've talked about over and over again. Why in the world, when we could sell energy to our friends, are we relying on our adversaries, to your point, and asking to buy energy from them? It makes no sense whatsoever. And that in fact was part of my state of the state. But I will say that and ESG is a little bit of a piece of this, and I've stood shoulder to shoulder with states like Alaska and Oklahoma. Kevin Stitt and I actually both talking about our really good environmental record, both producers of energy and because we're, I would guess the word might be a little bit progressive. Wyoming, for example, was the first state to really have a good system to protect the sage grouse. We're the first state that really talked about carbon sequestration and built force-facing legislation around that.
To listen to the full-length interview, visit thecrudelife.com.
Soon enough, I'll see that I'm crazy for loving you the way that I do, because you could love somebody like you. They say you're too damn small, and I won't pretend it don't matter at all. But no matter what the trouble ahead, I still won't regret this time that I spent. Sad to be a hold, nothing you could do would make me go. We'll let the world judge what they don't know. Giving me a heartbeat, making me.
For more than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
Folks, you are going to want to act today on this limited special from MyPillow. Check it out. A $70 pillow, now only $20. You'll also receive deep discounts on all the other MyPillow products as well. The MyPillow towels, the topper, the slippers. It is all on a deep discount with the promo code Otis. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and receive Mike's standard MyPillow for just $19.98 or call 800-598-4267. 800-598-4268. That's 800-598-4268. Once again, that thank you special is a standard MyPillow regularly $69.98, now only $19.98. And do not forget to use the promo code OTIS.